Lord, I'm so thankful that you gave yourself for us. The only way that we could be redeemed was by the giving of God's body and his blood. And you did it. You did it out of your love for your Father and your love for us. We honor that love and we thank you. We pray, Lord, that we'll be good witnesses for you, that we'll share what you did and share that love, that we might be encouraging one another and encouraging those out in the public, encouraging each other to serve you and sacrifice for you, Lord, encouraging those out in the public to know you, to accept you as the Savior that you are. Lord, be with us today as we speak about encouraging one another. Help us to do that, Lord, in all things, because that's what you would have us to do. Just as you gave yourself for us, help us to realize that we need to give ourselves to you, not in death, but in life, a life of service, encouragement, and proclamation of you and your word to those we encounter. Help us to understand that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're first going to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse 24. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. It's very nearly at the end of the scripture, the end of the Bible. But we're going to speak about community. We live in a community, don't we?
Yes,
we do live in a community. A community of believers. That's what we are sitting here right now. We're a community of believers. So I'm not talking about out there yet, but I'm going to get to that. The community of faith, community church. That's what we are. When we come into these walls and make a commitment to the Lord. But we can serve Him no matter where we're at, no matter what church we attend. We can still serve Him and be encouraging to others. Amen?
Amen.
We can be encouraging one another to love and good works. That's what we're to be doing. Encouraging one another to love one another and then do good things for one another. That's what the Lord's assignment for us is. And He includes those out side of our community, because He wants them to become part of the community. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." How do we stir up one another to love and good works? Well, you're doing it right now. You're here in church. You're encouraging everybody that's here. They're seeing you here and they're thinking, "Oh man, that's great. We're all here worshiping the Lord." And that's encouraging, isn't it? And we can pray for one another and encourage one another to go on to greater things. Last week, the Sisters in Christ, our ladies group, met and made Valentine's Day cards. Yes, they made Valentine's Day cards for shut-ins and residents of a couple of the healthcare centers in our community. Those cards say something to the residents. They say, "We love you and Christ loves you." Yeah. We're reminding them that the love of Christ is there with them, even though their family may not be there, even though they may have been there for quite a long time and have to look forward to more time there. The Lord is there with them. They can trust Him to care for them. Amen?
Amen.
And show them the love that they need. That's loving encouragement in the name of the Lord, making those cards, taking them, and disseminating them among the residents. It was a great thing to do, and I appreciate that, and I know the Lord does too. As Christians, we are meant to live this way, to stir each other to love others in a life that honors the Lord. We give ourselves not to die, but to live for the Lord and be His encouragement while we're here. That's our assignment, to help one another. And that's what we should be about all the time. Amen?
Amen.
This is why we are told in Scripture, in Hebrews 10:25, the next verse, not to give up meeting together. Because we need encouragement. If you move away from the encouragement of this church, you better find one where you can be encouraged. Otherwise, you're going to get farther and farther and farther away from the Lord. Next thing you know, you won't even be going to church. You won't be thinking about the Lord. You'll be doing other things. The Lord wants you to be faithful. Is He faithful to us?
Yes.
Oh, yes, He is. And that's what He wants us to do. The Scripture uses the metaphor of running a race. Running a race. To describe our life of faith and service to the Lord. When you say yes to Jesus, you enter the team, the racing team. Never thought of it that way, but you're on the racing team now. And you're racing for the Lord. Running a race to describe our life of faith and service. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we must encourage one another. Does the race ever get tough?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it does. I saw some ladies doing a long ski race. They're on their skis, you know, but they're not sliding down hills, you know, and having a great time. No, they're on flat land where they got to make those skis get along for almost an hour. Almost an hour they're going through the snow. Now, there were some downhill places, but not many. That's the race we run. Sometimes it gets tough. And if we don't encourage one another, we'll drop out. I'm sure some did drop out yesterday, but I didn't notice them. They didn't show the dropouts. They focus on the ones that keep going, right? But that's not the way of our Lord. If one of us dropped out, He wouldn't abandon us and ignore us. The Holy Spirit would begin encouraging us to get back in the race, to come and fellowship, to be in the Word, and to get right back going for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we need to do. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we must encourage each other to run the race of faith. It's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to do other things. The world is calling us to do other things. But we need to be faithful, don't we? Do we expect the Lord to be faithful? Yes. And He also expects us to be faithful. He gives us the Holy Spirit to help that become the reality of our life. We're faithful because God is in us, moving us forward to be faithful. Amen? He never leaves us alone. We run the race of faith with endurance. It's not our endurance, though. It's the Holy Spirit pushing us forward, giving us the strength to live for the Lord in a world that couldn't care less. In fact, they're actively against what the Lord wants for this world. But we can't let that taint our actions and our doings. We must be faithful. Amen?
Amen?
So we're clued in that life in Jesus is not a sprint. We're not running a 50-yard dash. We're in for the long haul. Some of our hauls are longer than others, right? But He's always there, always encouraging us. He never leaves us alone. And even though we get off track sometimes and we run amok, no, He's there to help us get back on track and continue the race. Brothers and sisters in our church community are here to help one another. When you come to church, when you come to the functions of the church, you encourage one another to keep coming, stay in the race, do those things that would honor the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we are about. We help each other see ways that we might improve our performance in the race. Are racers ever satisfied with the time that they gave? No, they're always striving to do better. And that's kind of a natural thing. And it's natural for us as believers. We should strive to do better in our walk with the Lord, in our service to Him, in our encouragement to each other. We notice things about each other, don't we? Oh, we're human. Right? We're saved, but we're still human. We notice things. But rather than not mention anything, we need to find ways to encourage each other to do better, to run the race better, to encourage each other better. That is why we meet, to fellowship with one another and encourage each other to a better walk with the Lord. That's what we want to do. Amen? Amen. By this information, we help each other grow spiritually and run the race in a more steadfast and honorable manner. Because ultimately, that's what we want to do, isn't it? We want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Our words, our actions, the places we go, everything we do reflects on Him. When people know that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, they're considering that in all that they see you doing. So we need to do things that encourage them to say, yes, their walk with the Lord is real and they live by it because the Lord is with them and in them. We encourage each other to pursue the things of God and hold each other accountable. Yes, we should hold each other accountable because the Lord is for all of us and we want the reflection we give about the Lord to be true and honorable. So we need to keep that up. We encourage each other to pursue the things of God, and we're accountable to do that. Together, you and I, and the Holy Spirit. You see, sometimes we forget that. The Holy Spirit is in us, not just with us, He's in us, and therefore always with us. And we can call on Him anytime for strength, for guidance, for better ways to love one another and to help one another, to encourage one another. That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. He wants you and I to be a light in this dark world. Do you think believers ever need to be encouraged and have that light come on? Of course we do. We can get down in the dumps just like everybody else. And we need to be reminded of who we are and who is with us and who is bringing us along to eventually be with Him. Amen? We need to be a light in this dark world, encouraging one another to love and good works. Always. If you find yourself in a negative situation, ask the Lord to help you get out of it. Show me the way, Lord. Show me the best way, the best thing to do to show you to others. Before Jesus was crucified, He gave us a new command. You can find it in John 13, chapter 13, Gospel of John 13, verse 34 and 35. Here's what He said. Love one another. Now, it's not that mushy-gushy love of romance. That's not what He's talking about. That's phileo love. He's talking about agape love. Sacrifice for one another. Encourage one another. Do those things that would draw one another closer to the Lord. Because that's what we all need. We all need to be closer to the Lord. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Amen. And so love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. It's not optional. You must love one another as the Lord loved us. How did He love us? He gave Himself for us. He doesn't want us to die literally for Him. That would end our participation here in being a light in the world. He wants us to live by His love and commands so that we can show others that love. And they will buy into that and accept Him as their Savior. Amen? As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. So expect to be examined. Expect to be looked at. Once you throw the name of Jesus out there and that you're a follower, people are going to start watching to see how you're acting. And if you fall off the plank, they're going to let you know. They're going to let you know. And the first time you try to talk about Jesus after that, they'll throw that right in your face. So then you'll get an opportunity to explain how Jesus is a loving, forgiving, redeeming Savior. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. He knows that we're going to fall off the plank every now and then. But we don't stay there. We come back and get back in the race. Amen? This is one of many times we are commanded to love one another. Yes, we are commanded to love one another, which is repeated multiple times in Scripture. Romans 12:10, show brotherly love and honor to each other. 1 Peter 4:8, keep loving no matter what. Nothing gives you the right to say, I can't love that person anymore. I'm not going to try to be an example to them. My relationship is totally dead. Now, you can part ways, but you should always be an encouragement when you get together. Right? Because you're trying to be the example they need to follow the Lord. That's part of our assignment too. We don't just throw in the towel and leave. We keep trying, keep trying. Keep loving no matter what. 1 John 4:7, prove God's love. How do you prove God's love? You keep trying. You don't give up. You keep trying. You keep showing the love of Jesus. And hopefully they'll respond. And you might not find out till many years later that it paid off, that your love paid off. You know, I was a teacher for many years, and I taught ESE students, and some of them had some very difficult mental problems. And I wondered many times what was going to become of those students. We went through some tough things together. And then I started getting the opportunity to meet them again, because I was elementary, they went on to middle school, and then we would have some opportunities to interact. I had students come up and thank me for sticking with them and not throwing in the towel. And that's how we need to be with each other. Keep encouraging one another. Keep showing the love so they get on the right track and stay there. The love that believers demonstrate for each other allows the world to see. That's what we want to show them. We want to show them the love. Oh, you hear about churches having problems. Listen, show the love. That's what we need to do. The love that believers demonstrate for each other allows the world to see that. See what a transformed life that coming to Jesus produces. Yes. And there'll be some people you might have to not associate with much anymore. But when you see them, you show them the love. You don't go places with them anymore because they want to go places that, quite frankly, don't honor the Lord. But you still show them love. That's what they need. Show them what God is and what a transformed life in Christ looks like. That's what they need to see. 1 John 4:7 and verse 8 tells us why we love one another. Why do we love one another? Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. If we want them to know God, we've got to show His love. And you show that by helping them understand who God is and what He wants for them. He wants eternal life for them. Eternal life in a God-honoring relationship. Because God is love, believers can and should encourage one another to love and do good works as a testimony to the Lord, to each other, but also to those outside the church. People need the Lord.
Amen.
People need the Lord. They're not going to make it without Him. We are the catalyst that God has thrown into the mix to make the chemistry work and bring them to Him. We must encourage one another to encourage them. In community, believers can practice what it means to love like God. That's why we meet. We want to love like God, and we want to show others how that works. First of all, we love sacrificially. We give up our desires, and we take on what the Lord wants us to do for Him. We love like God selflessly, so that we can serve Him without reserve. And unconditionally, Romans 5:8 tells us that. Trust the Lord, trust the Lord, trust the Lord. That's the only way you can walk with Him consistently. You have to trust Him. Humble yourself and let Him do the job. You can trust Him. When we are offended, we can practice loving each other by forgiving. Yes, by forgiving. You know, we were talking about that in Bible study this morning. When you forgive someone, that brings relief to you. It might not bring relief to them, but for you it will bring relief. Now you can speak with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord with nothing holding you back because you have been a forgiving saint modeling what Christ asked us to do. Hopefully they'll see that and they'll come to the Lord as well. But there's no guarantee. You are trusting the Lord that what you're doing is going to be an example for them that they need. And hopefully it will bear fruit. Amen?
Amen.
We want to encourage them, and so we forgive them. We bear with one another at all times. Whether difficult or calm, we bear with one another. And forgiveness is part of that. If we don't forgive, we're never going to bear with one another. We're always going to hold that between us. That doesn't work. That doesn't do a thing for the body. 1 John 3:18 confirms that. We can also love people by building them up and helping them grow in Christ. How do you do that? By doing what you're doing right now. You are a living example. You are faithful to the Lord by coming to fellowship. Let them see that. They'll get the message. If you're consistent, they'll see it consistently. And hopefully, they'll make a change. We build them up by encouraging them by our actions. We need to trust the Holy Spirit so we might step outside of our comfort zone. You ever try to witness to somebody? I mean, cold witness. You don't know them, you run into them on the street, and you feel like the Holy Spirit saying, say something about the Lord. Are you comfortable with that? I'll give you a tip. The more you do it, the more comfortable you get with it, right? So, yes, you have to gut it out the first few times. Just like you're in the race and you're running. Hey, when racers first start running, they have to gut it out. They have to hang in there. We need to do that too, so that they get the message. Outside of our comfort zone, encouraging one another. We do this by joining in the Lord's love and good works in ways that we would not naturally pursue. That's one of them. So you need the encouragement of each other to do that. We'll receive encouragement as we see others doing the same thing. And we see people responding to what we're doing and living out godly values, joining in the encouragement. We need to all be involved in encouraging one another. By this, the world will see the love of Christ. That's what they need to see. We need to be encouraging and loving of one another. Believers are a light to the world through their good deeds. The good deeds. Jesus encouraged believers to let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. They're always watching. And so the least little thing that you do that shows the love of Christ, they'll notice. They'll notice. And you know what will happen? Eventually, someone will come to you and ask for help, because they know you know Jesus. It'll happen. Try it. Believers are a light to the world through their good deeds. Let your light shine. Good works do not save. Never. You can't get to heaven by your own good works. Scripture is very plain on that. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells us that. However, as James 2, 26 says, faith without works is dead. If we say we're faithful and love the Lord, we need to show that by doing things that speak of that love for Him. And every now and then you'll get to testify and talk about Jesus and tell people about Him. That's the best thing. That's the best feeling you'll ever have. Faith is believing that the Holy Spirit, encouraging our spirit, will enable good work that draws people to the Lord. That's where we want to be, walking in the Spirit. God saved us not just to rescue us from the consequence of sin. Yes, that's the initial thing that happens. We're saved from the punishment of a sinful life, but that's not the end. We're also saved to reflect His character and goodness to other people, to draw them into the Lord. It's not about coming to church. It's about them knowing the Lord and following Him. And then they'll get into Scripture and they'll start coming to church eventually, right? That's the way it should work. We draw them to Christ as the Holy Spirit produces fruit in our lives, as described in Galatians 5:22. We act in ways that reflect God's character, love, care, and encouragement to draw others. It's not about us, though. It's about Him. We draw them to share Him. That's what we're all trying to do. We should be trying that. Instead of living according to our own self-centered and our old ways, that's what self-centeredness is, we are empowered to seek and do loving works, not to please us, to please Him, and to be a testimony to others and draw them in. Amen? Amen. The examples we live will encourage others to join Christ. That's why we follow Him. Fellowshipping, sharing the love of Jesus with other Christians, allows us the opportunity to motivate and practice examples of how to stir up love. We should be practicing forgiveness here all the time. And dialogue, speaking to one another, not hiding things, but working things out to the glory of God. Amen? Be kind, be loving, be honest. Let the Holy Spirit lead and fellowship with what you're doing. Fellowshipping, sharing the love of Jesus gives us that opportunity. In this, we become examples of how to stir up one another. How do we motivate one another to do these good things? By doing them ourselves and becoming an example. Why do we do it? For the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord, that's why we do it. So His love can be made complete through us. Through us. We're sharing His love. Amen. 1 John 4:11 and verse 12. 1 John, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. What did God do that showed that? He gave the most precious thing he had, his son. That showed his love. And because he was willing to sacrifice, we also should be willing to sacrifice. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete. Some versions of the Bible say it's manifest, it's made clear. It's shown to others what's carried inside of us, and we're releasing it for the benefit of others to the glory of the Lord. That leads us to a really exciting part of being a believer. It's this. It's committing to following the Holy Spirit as He calls us to serve and encourage others. The Holy Spirit will call and ask you, direct you, lovingly direct you to a ministry to encourage others. In this church, there's always service jobs, always things that need to be done. The lawn needs to be cut, the floors need to be cleaned and vacuumed, some painting, some fixing. All those things are always there, aren't they? They have to be done. Housekeeping has to be done, doesn't it? We clean our houses regularly because it has to be done. Don't necessarily enjoy it, but it has to be done. But you can enjoy it when you remember that you're doing this for the glory of the Lord. Service that keeps the Lord's house looking inviting inside and out. You ever think, what do people think when they drive by this church and look over here? It's clean, the grass is mowed, the buildings are painted. We're getting ready to do a roof, you know, so that looks nice and safe. That's inviting, that's encouraging to people to come in and check us out. So that's one way to serve. You may also serve as starting out as a teacher's aide, helping in Bible study classes with the kids. Now, you're not responsible for teaching the lesson. You're there to help with what the kids need. You know, somebody has to get up and go to the restroom. You make sure they get there and back. They don't get lost along the way. So there's that. And then you work your way up to maybe becoming a Bible teacher with kids or maybe even with a higher level. Work your way up to that with the help of the teacher you've been working with and other teachers. That's the way it's done, you know. We don't just put somebody in there and say, go for it. No, we work with them. That's the way teaching is learned throughout this country. You go to a school, you work with a teacher, and you learn the ways of teaching. And then eventually you become your own classroom teacher. So when you decide you want to do that, you get the help of others to encourage you. The Lord also needs lead teachers to serve His church. So if you're ready to be a teacher, come and talk to me. Or talk to my wife, Liz, and find out what you can do. Maybe you've been thinking about being part of the praise team up here. For a long time, I didn't consider adding people to that because the space is rather limited. But we could have two praise teams and alternate, or we could have people that could come in and alternate, or like right now, we have at least three people out because of sickness or vacation. Hey, they could plug right in. So you see, as a leader, I've got to start thinking outside the box a little bit, right? And incorporate more of you to do the things the Lord's calling you to do. So if you're interested in that, see Ryan or see me. We'll help you get plugged in. It can be done. I would really like to start a phone encouragement program at church. People that have been coming, we don't see them for a week or two. Hey, let's call them up and encourage them. People that get sick, they need encouragement. People that are shut-ins, they need encouragement. We can do that through a phone call. Do you think they would feel good about getting a phone call? I think they would. Somebody out there cares about me. And so I would like to do that. It's not like cold calling because you know these people, they've been to church. But there is a place for cold calling. I get cards. I get a list of people who've moved into the community. Are there people moving into the community? By the droves. Sometimes you can't... I go to leave the church in the afternoon. I can't make a left turn because of the traffic. I have to go right and go around the block to get home. People are coming to Florida by the droves. And I get a list of where they're moving to. There's no phone number on it, though. Uh-oh. Now we have to go knock on the door. How many like to go knock on a door, cold call? Right? Not many. But if the Holy Spirit calls you to that, then he must be thinking you have the ability to do it, and with his encouragement, it could be done. And all you're going to do is knock on the door and say, "Hi, I'm from Faith Community Church. I just wanted you to know we're down the street. And here's our..." You give them a handout and say, "Here's our worship times and what we do. You're invited. Come on out and see us." They may have some questions. You'll be able to answer them. It's that simple, right? So you give them the information and move on. We just need to make contact with people. Do you know how many people are out there thinking about the Lord and how they can find out about Him? A lot more than you think. A lot more. But we're not making contacts. We need to go and step out of our comfort zone and make those contacts. Our goal is to encourage people to get to know the Lord. Is knowing the Lord a good thing? Would you want other people to know that?
Yes.
How are you doing it? Are you doing anything at the moment to show them that, to tell them that, to encourage them? What did the Lord say? Go and make disciples. Just go and tell them. Hey, there's a church down the street. They want you to come. They'll even give you coffee and donuts. If you're allowed to have them. Ryan, would you come up, please? The Lord is calling. He's calling. All who claim to be a born-again believer, the Lord is calling you. He's calling me. He's calling all of us. All of His sons and daughters are being called to encourage each other and to encourage those that are outside the church and need encouragement, that need the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
It's going to require that you be somewhat bold in your faith. You're going to have to step out of your comfort zone a bit. You can do it little by little. That's okay. But eventually, the Lord really wants you to dig in and serve. He really wants you to get into the race and bring the glory home to Him. It's not about us getting the glory. It's for Him. He wants us to be bold in our faith and trust Him to lead us to those places where He is needed, and we'll get the response that He wants. You just tell the Lord you're interested in doing it. I'll do it. I'll give in. I'll do it. I'll serve. Show me where. Show me where. That's being bold. Declare your commitment by coming up here to this altar and showing the Lord and others that you're willing. You're willing. I'm willing, Lord. Show me. I'll go. Show me. Declare your commitment that you want to be serving and encouraging to others. You'll be encouraging the Lord too. See, we don't think about that often, do we? But it's an encouragement to the Lord as well. Open yourself up to the Holy Spirit encourage others by serving. That's what he's asking us to do. You can come up, stand, sit, kneel, whatever, and just tell the Lord, I'm willing. I'll go. Show me. Show me.